This is where we left off in verse 16. And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll get to verse 33 today. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then let's dive in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your word and the Spirit. Help us, Lord. Illuminate our minds and our hearts and help us to understand what you are saying to us. Convict us of the things in our lives that are not pleasing to you. Encourage us and strengthen us in the areas that we are weak. But Lord, please do not leave us to our own thinking, our own opinions, our own strengths. You, Lord, overcome us, overwhelm us. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. Help us to love you more, to love your word. Change us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John chapter 16, we're in this process of moving from the Lord's table and the Last Supper to the cross and him hanging on the cross. And so if you're remembering where we are, we're in the shadow of the cross, just a few hours away. Part 10, the 10th part. If you want a specific title, this is, you can write Joy Beyond Troubles. Joy Beyond Troubles. So, we are again in this process. I must confess I'm a little nervous because chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. When we have the opportunity to have it written down for us, where we can read and study and understand where Jesus prayed for us and his disciples in the garden. And we have the opportunity. I bought a book a few years ago, and I've almost completed it. It's about 900 pages on the first five verses of John chapter 17. If you can imagine reading a book 900 pages on five verses, I think he got just about everything you could get out of those five verses. But it's a little daunting and a little heavy to be facing, of course, 17, 18, 19, and 20. As we are about to journey into the last couple of hours of our Lord's life, as Scripture unfolds it to us, we have the privilege of taking this journey together. So, John chapter 16, we see, and I know I was not here last week, and so we have had the Lord's the Last Supper, and we saw that in chapter 13, and then he was sharing with them after the supper. The Holy Spirit is promising them the Holy Spirit and encouraging them, building them up, helping them to be able to face the difficulties that they are about to face. And so we see here in this in this verse, and as we looked at 2 weeks ago, verse 1 through 15, he kind of was sharing with them, listen, even though you're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to do the Spirit's going to do this great work, greater works than you have seen with me, and God's going to do this, In the first 15 verses of this chapter, remember, he said, now, wait a minute, you're still going to go through trials and troubles and tribulations. It's not like you're going to be removed from that. So we're still kind of in this conversation with our Jesus is with the disciples and saying, you're going to be in the midst of turmoil. It's not going to leave you, but you're going to have the power of the Spirit. So that's the context that we see these verses unfold. So this is what I'm going to do. I have basically four divisions. So we're going to read a division at a time, and I'm going to give you the points. And then, so four divisions from 16 to 33. So let's look at the first overall division. It's going to be in verse 16 through 19. It's the disciples' confusion. There's a little bit of confusion. And the confusion is over, I'll just give you a hint, over this, it's actually one word, but over this little phrase in English, a little while. Over the word or the phrase in English, a little while, there's confusion. So let's read it and then let's dig in. Starting in verse 16, it says this. A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me? And again a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father, they said, therefore, what is this that he says, in quotes, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring amongst yourselves about what I said a little while? And you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So, what does this mean? The confusion going on. Well, just so you know, and I don't think it makes a difference. I've tried to read enough to find out, does it really make a difference? But there's basically two options. And we know this because we're looking back at the cross and not looking forward to the cross. But there's really only two options here of what Jesus is saying to them, a little while. It's either referring to the cross, that he's going to be crucified, he's going to be buried, and then he's going to raise again, and they're going to see him. It's either that, and then there's some that believe it's the ascension. That he's talking about, yes, I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to be buried. You're going to see me again. And then I'm going to be lifted up. And he's talking, and I understand their thought behind this, because the whole context of that we've covered over two chapters and still in it is the Holy Spirit. He's referring and been teaching them about, I am leaving you, but I'm leaving you with somebody. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. So some believe he's still on that train of thought of that it's talking about the ascension of Christ when he leaves them completely, but yet they're going to see him again, meaning you're going to have something greater than me in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not real sure it matters theologically which one. Christ is going to do this work. We know this. But those are your only two options if you're a conservative, Bible-believing person. And so this is the confusion is still there. The disciples still could not, this is the point, comprehend what was about to happen. The basic understanding of how Jesus was going to die, they could not get even though he was telling them, I'm about to die, as we will see in vivid detail through this gospel, as it unfolds, it still radically shakes them up. As they see Jesus going from trial to trial to trial, the beatings, the hatred, them hanging their minds, and Christ knows this. So the disciples are sitting here, and the Lord is encouraging them, whether they're still in the room or walking along the way. I personally believe they're in transition and probably out of the room and walking, but I can't definitively tell you that. But they're walking to the garden. And they're still having this conversation, but Christ knows that they cannot completely grasp what's about to happen. And Him rising from the grave, and the things, and Him saying, yes, greater things are going to happen after I leave you. He knows that there's just no possible way for them to fully understand. So this phrase, a little while and this will happen, and then this will happen in a little while. And Jesus knew of the struggle that they were about to face. He said it to them, if you remember, in John chapter 14. The struggle that they would face. And the bottom line is this. They just could not get the phrase, a little while. And the truth is, who does get that? A little while. Who gets this message, a little while? I don't. Listen, I'll tell you this. One of the hardest things for me as a believer to walk through, the hardest thing that I struggle with is impatience. Amen? You guys may not be like that. But one of the things that I struggle with the most, because I see something, I want to take care of it, I want to deal with it, I want to check it off the list. Okay, let's do it. No matter how hard, difficult, it doesn't matter. Let's just get it done. I'm impatient. I struggle with that. I struggle with a little while. I struggle with God saying to Brandon Griffin, Brandon, stop. In a little while, this will be taken care of. Now, you may not be like me, but this is a struggle in my life. And I'm being just completely open. And as I read this and I look at this and you read just in these four verses, he makes a statement over and over and over again. It's actually one word, a little while. Who gets this? Who understands this? Let me share with you a verse I hope you are familiar with. I know when I read it, you probably will be familiar with it, but I hope you're familiar with the reference. In Psalm 46, verse 10, it says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. We're spoiled, guys. We're brats. That's just the truth. We're so spoiled. We want things, problems. Even the good things we want right away. We want to be at ease. As that, our passion in our lives,
that we pursue. We want to be at ease in Zion. And if anything rocks the boat or rocks our world, buddy, we can't hardly handle it. We're impatient. We're spoiled. We don't understand. And it's not just Jesus speaking to His disciples. It's the Lord God speaking to us. Just a little while. Be still and know that I am God. It seems by the time that we learn these lessons, there's not a whole lot more to do but to be still. And I don't mean that just in chronological. I'm not just referring to chronological age. Although when you walk through with the Lord through years and years and years, we do learn. I've learned. I'm a lot better than I used to be, and I'm still terrible. Amen? But I do know that as you walk through the years, there you learn to be still and wait for the Lord. So I don't mean just that we get so old that there's nothing really else to do but to be still and wait for the Lord, because we've learned that He has to do it. I'm also saying that in reference to our circumstances, because a lot of times the Lord will do things in our lives and put us through the processes that there's absolutely nothing we can do but wait. And He will say to us, a little while. Just a little while. A little while. But it seems like when we are getting this and learning this in our lives, there's really, it's almost like He's put us in situations that there's nothing. He has to remove, it's like He has to remove everything else, all the other crutches, everything else we lean on and go, you have to wait on Me. Isn't that right? I know I'm not the only one. So this confusion that is amongst the disciples, we're still dealing with today, aren't we? Lord, I confess openly, I struggle with this. When You say to me, a little while, just trust Me. A little while, just trust Me. I must confess, Lord. I must confess. I don't understand. So we see the confusion over a little while. And we really don't just see it, we can understand it. Some better than others. Some of you here today could amen me and say, brother, I'm with you. This is a struggle in my life. There's a couple of them, a few of them, but this is one of the biggest struggles in my life. To wait. To wait on the Lord. Let's go to the next point. So we see Him moving them and talking to them. And then He says to them in the second point, which will be 20 through 24. He says to them, listen, as you go through this process, just a little while, there's going to be joy like you won't believe. Endless joy. Bountiful joy. Overwhelming joy. In a little while. It's almost the proverbial carrot stick. Dangling carrot, right? In just a little while. In just a little while. But He promises us this endless joy. Let's read it and then let me unpack it. In 20 through 24, this is what it says. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep. and lament. But the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to that child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no more, and your joy no one will take from you. Amen. I'm gonna read the rest. I'm gonna stop right there, and we'll finish the rest. So this joy that he's talking about, he's saying, listen, the world is gonna rejoice. They're going to be happy. Think about what he's talking about. You know what he's referring to. When they're about to crucify him, your heart's going to be broken. And the world is going to be, yes, crucifying. But you're going to be broken. The world is going to be rejoicing. But, just wait a little while. And your joy will be endless. And their joy will be forever. Their pain will be forever. Their sorrow. And so he's sitting here and he's talking to them. And he's using these words. And he's saying, you will weep. You will lament. You will be sorrowful. Often, you will do this. You will have these feelings. You will struggle. And you know, often these words come when you think about pain. When you think about the struggles in life, and definitely when we're facing death. Amen? We think about these words, weeping, lamenting, sorrow. You know, I have found it in my life personally, and I don't know about you, but think about it. It's often the case when the Lord asks me to wait on Him, there's some kind of pain or suffering that I'm going through. Amen? Isn't that often the case? When He is calling us to wait, to be still, to trust Him, to stand on Him, isn't it often, very often in my life, that it's through pain that He's asking me to do that? Do you find that, brothers and sisters? Or is it just me? Is it just me? Because it's a whole lot easier to understand this when everything is happy and joyful, everybody's laughing. It seems like to me when I hear these words, for me, it's when I'm going through great hardships in life. And then he says, in a little while longer, you go through this pain, and it changes. The pain drastically changes to joy. And this intense struggle and strife and sorrow somehow changes itself into unbelievable joy. And you know the illustration that he gives? Y'all read it. Y'all know. It's like a woman in pain about to deliver a baby. All the struggle, all the strain, all the troubles. And then, and they, listen, I can't tell you how many times, I wish Beth was here. She was like, we're not having another baby. And that baby comes. And it's like, everything, all that goes away. Amen? And it's like, I remember thinking to myself, when Calvin came along, I was like, how can one person love another person more than I love this child? And then Becca came, and Lord, I'll tell you this, I thought I loved that boy to death. Then you have a girl. Wow! It's like you love those girls like crazy. And then Carrie came along. And then Kate. And that was after a lot of heartache and pain in our lives. And how does it change? And how does this happen? And it's interesting, this passage of Scripture, he uses Jesus quotes out of Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah uses that, this same wording, and Jesus is quoting Isaiah out of Isaiah 26. And so he uses this illustration to apply to this great, that yes, you're going in a little while, is so often in the middle of struggle and pain. And then it changes to joy. And boy, is it joyful. How can this happen? It's like they were going to face this, and Jesus was telling them it. And honestly, when we take this to heart, when we see and we go through this and we think, what does the world, what can we not face? If we have Jesus, truly have Jesus, what is there in this world that we cannot face? But, and it all, it should make us in a way bulletproof. But boy, when we get into the middle of those broken struggles and just sorrowful, it just seems so dark we can't ever climb out. We forget about being bulletproof. And the Lord says not only is the joy going to come, but He also, let me read the next two verses in 23 and 24. It says, and in that day, so he's saying it's going to come. There's going to be a day that comes when that joy comes, when it happens. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. And most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Let me explain that to you, because a lot of people have this misunderstanding, and I can explain that verse so easily to you, and you will get it, and you will say, I understand that because of this. It's that when you go through the midnight cries and the struggle and the strife, and you're crying out to God, and your heart's broken, you're grieving, you're going, whatever it is you're going through, and when that joy comes, and you see the face of God, and you're like, wow! Yes, Lord, thank you! Thank you for doing this, whatever it is. It's like you don't care about asking Him for anything. It's like, yes, you did this. Thank you. I see you. I have joy in you. And I don't have to ask you for anything because I have you. Amen? Don't you? Y'all experience that. Where you're so in Him. You've been pressing through, persevering, holding, crying, broken, suffering. And you press through and boy, you meet Him and it's like, wow. Nothing else matters. You're it. You're the answer. 24. Until now, you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Do you know what we ask at those moments? Those, when He has taken us through the ringers, the process, the little while longers, and we meet Him face to face, do you know what we ask? Lord, I just want a little bit more of You. And at those moments, all of that pain, all of the labor pains, all of the struggles, all of that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. And we go, Lord, I just want a little bit more of You. That's all I want. Just You. Ask in my name and I'll give it to you. And He brings us through those. Listen, I had the great privilege of meeting, spending time this week with two men that Rodney grew up with. Rodney wasn't even around when I met these men and had time to spend with them. And man, one dude that God has just brought through so much brokenness. All He could say to me over and over again is, man, God has been so good to me. And I wish I could lay out all the pain that this man went through. Rodney can tell you. Brokenness, suffering, stuff I hope none of us ever go through. And all he could talk about was how great God's grace was. Am I telling the truth, brother? That's what it means to be a believer. Amen? That we can go back and we can look and see what He has brought us through in our lives and go, glory to God. Your grace is sufficient. Amen? Lord, You're all I want. And I'm sorry that I forget that sometimes and I go on my own way and do my own thing. And You have to help me, remind me, which we're about to get that. We're about to get to that because, listen, we forget and He reminds us because He's a good dad. So we go through this and He says, listen, when you ask, you will receive. If you ask in my name, you will receive it. So we see this endless joy, this endless communion, really. That's where the joy comes in, is when you're in Christ, when you're communing with Christ, you have joy with no bottom to it. No limits. Third point. And this joy, and we're going to look at in 25 through 30, I want to tell you this. You may. I'm looking around. I hope this is not true in this room. We're a small group this morning. But you may be sitting here and listening to this and thinking to yourself, I don't really understand, Brandon, what you're saying. So let me explain in 25 and 30, this is the point. The point is this. This joy that I'm talking to you about cannot be explained. It has to be experienced. I cannot sit up here, humanly possible, it's impossible, to try to explain the suffering and trials and brokenness that ends in great joy in Jesus. I can't do it. It has to be explained. It has to be experienced. God has to do it in you. He has to do it in you. I can sit here and talk about it. I can tell stories. I could sit down, and if I brought this man up, he's 70 years old, isn't he, Rodney? I mean, y'all graduated together, right? 70, and if he got up and laid out his testimony and could sit here and say, you know, I have not one complaint. I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life. I can't even tell you. No complaints. You would be sitting here going, wow. But he's experienced it. Even though he's telling you and giving you testimony, you don't know it until you experience it. So let's read this, and I'm going to read in 25 through 30. This is what it says. Have a few more minutes. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, talking about giving birth. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. He's basically saying, get ready. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I will do. And I do not say to you that I shall pray to my Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. So Jesus is sitting there saying, there's going to come a time and it's going to happen and you're going to ask me for something. I'm not going to say, well, I'll pray to the Father. He's going to say, you're going to ask me and the Father's going to hear you because you love me and the Father loves you because I came from the Father. And they're like, oh, we get it now. We get it now. Figurative language, meaning, okay, now it's not veiled. It's a statement about this, about what you are doing. It doesn't have anything, there's nothing obscure about it. And what seems hard to understand now will become clear to them later. Is what the Lord's thinking, yeah, this is, I'm going to die, I'm going to be resurrected, I'm going to go to ascend to my Father, the Holy Spirit's going to become, going to come to them after a little while. and that they would actually understand the ministry of Christ better after He's gone. It's amazing to think about these conversations happen. To me it is. And to see Him taking them through the processing and even talking to them about it and saying, this is what's going to happen and this is how it's going to unfold. And this is what you are going to face. And He says to them, in verse 26, as I said, in that day, believers, let me say this. I want to say to you, if there's nothing else you hear from me today, hear this. But that's not true. I can't say that. I want to add something to you. If you are a believer today, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you know Him and you're in a relationship with Him, you, believer, will have that in that day. Believer, there is going to be an end to all of this. Amen. You are going to go home, or He's coming to get you. He's going to come. There's no orphans. He's not left us. He's just gone just a little while. And whatever it is, whatever the hardships, whatever the troubles, whatever the things that you have struggled with, In that day, Lord, come. Amen. Come right now. Lord, please come. In that day. If you don't know Christ, you will have a day, but it won't be in that day. It's a total different day. It should be in that night. But if you know Christ, it's in that day. But I can sit here and I can explain it. And I could, even if I wrote pages of references and scripture references and wrote it out and tried to explain it, I could never. Matter of fact, the greatest preachers in the world could never explain it to you. You got to experience it. And when you do, you will have an end that day. And then last, in 31 through 33, it says this, Jesus answered them, because He knew. Look at how He answers in verse 31. Do you now believe? Really? Hold, wait a minute. Now you believe. Do you now believe? Indeed. Okay. The hour's coming, yes, and has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father's with me. You know, He's not being figuratively now. He's not speaking figuratively. He's saying, oh, you believe? Now you believe? Okay. The hour's coming when you're all going to leave me. You're going to go to your own thing. You're going to do your own thing. You know what they were thinking. It's like talking to a teenage boy. I know. You try to tell a teenage boy something? I know. Well, if you know, do it. Right? Mark, are you going to say amen? Okay. I know. Well, if you know, then do it. Do you know why they don't do it? They don't know. That's why they don't do it. This is what's happening in this verse right here. Oh, now you believe? Okay. Then let me tell you what's about to happen. You're about to leave me. All of you are going to be scattered. All of you are going to leave me alone. And look what Jesus says. Look at the last phrase. But my Father will not leave me. Isn't that glorious? Now, let me ask you this. I don't want anybody to raise their hands. Please don't raise your hand because I don't want you to be embarrassed. Okay? But I want to ask you something very intimately. This is the thing. Don't you wish you had that type of security where Jesus was saying, listen, everybody's going to leave me but one, my Father. He's talking to His closest, most intimate friends that He has. And He's saying, all of y'all are going to scatter and nobody, look at it. No, y'all aren't going to be with me, nobody. Listen, y'all know this. This is so bad. You knew this before you came to Christ. Peter even denied Him. Peter. Y'all are all going to leave me. But one. Glory. Lord, please give me that kind of security. Listen, as much as I love Beth Griffin, I love her more than anything on this earth. But my security's not in Beth. Who I am is not defined by Beth Griffin. Who I am is defined by Jesus. Who I am as a person, who I stand for, how I live my life, how I raise my children. All of those things which matter greatly. There's one thing that should define me. Jesus. Right? One thing. Verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I tell you, that's good news. That's the gospel. In this world, you're going to have troubles. Listen to me. I don't care how good your marriage is. You're going to have struggles in your marriage. I don't care how wonderful. I mean, even Rick and Kathy have struggles in their marriage. I don't care how great, how wonderful your children are. You're going to have struggles with your children. You're going to have struggles with your job. You're going to have struggles with your friends. You're going to have, but guess what? He's overcome all of that. Glory. I really, honestly, and I know this is such cliche. This is so, I mean, we say this stuff all the time, especially around other brothers and sisters, but it really is the truth. I don't see how people make it apart from Jesus. Really? Honestly, we should feel sorry for them. Our hearts should be broken for people all around us. That should motivate us to share the gospel with them. We should look around instead of getting mad and frustrated, which I do. I do. We should look at it and be broken. I don't see how they make it without Him. I've completely lost my place. But you get the point. So let's close with this. If you believe, and if you've been taught that having peace with Jesus means a lack of conflict in your life, then you need to call me today. Okay? I mean, matter of fact, I'm giving you permission to call me this afternoon. If somebody's taught you that walking with Jesus and trusting Jesus and loving Jesus with all of your heart and pouring your life out for Jesus and whatever else you want to call it, that if you do this or you do it this way, that you will have an abundance of peace, and that means a lack of conflict, call me. Because that is not at all what the Lord promises you. Matter of fact, He says, and we have just gone over this, if you love me, the world will hate you. Isn't that? We just went over that. So you call me today, immediately. Let me help you. Let's talk through it. Number two. What troubles are you facing today? What are the things in your life right now, today, that you're facing? I can say this, believer. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I say to you, brother, sister, cling to Jesus. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Number three. Man, doggone it. I skipped so many verses. Number three. This went with number three, a lot of verses I skipped. Troubles, and the Lord allows them a lot of times. Sometimes He brings them. Scripture teaches both, that He allows them to happen and He brings them. Troubles in our lives remind us how much we need Him. Right? It's a reminder that we're not as smart as we think we are. We're not as strong as we think we are. We're not whatever. Troubles in this world should stop us and remind us how much we depend on Him. Hebrews chapter 10. You just read the whole passage, but at the end part, definitely. But troubles in this life and struggles in this process that He brings us a little while longer, this process that He brings us through, it reminds us of our great need. Number four. His answer, going through this process, His answer will not usually mean that the problem is over. There are times that we get, it seems like, that the dawn breaks and we fall in love with the thought, oh, we're through it. When so very often, what the Lord will do is bring the joy, bring the breaking of the day, but we still have to walk through with Him. It's very interesting to me that He uses the example. And if you read in Isaiah 26, the prophet talks about it. But He uses the example of childbirth, because there is a moment where that mother, now I've not, of course, experienced that, but I have been around it a lot. Where that child comes and there's a moment when the labor and the pain is over. And the mom is so relieved. And there's such great joy and love. And you're just flooded with a billion different emotions. But then you have to take that child home. And feed it. And teach it. And that love grows, believe it or not. You think you can't love something more, and it grows. But there's something else that grows with that love too. Sin and evil. And suffering and pain. And that love grows and grows, and you... that there's a lot you still have to walk through it. It's not like it poof, goes away. But there is a day. The day is coming. That day, amen, when it will be gone. Number five, and this is it. This is the last thing I have for you. Oh man, I'm over. Number five. One question. How much are you and me truly relying on Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the joy that comes. And Lord, even though when that joy comes, we still have to walk. There's still things that we have to walk through. Lord, there is an ultimate joy that's coming. In that day, there will be a time when it's completely done away with. Lord, help us. Thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your spirit. Help us, Lord, to trust You most. To love You most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.